You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and radiocafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. I'd like now to welcome Matt Kreitman. He's Vice President of Bike Santa Fe, and we're here to talk about bicycling and bike safety in Santa Fe. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about how you got into biking. Do you commute? Do you compete? What's your relationship to bikes?
I am an interested recreational cyclist. I like to use the city trails. I think we should all be outdoor more often. That biking, of course, is a great recreation. It's communal, it's social, and in many ways, obviously, you know, offers benefits over driving around.
It's funny, it is communal and social, but it's also solitary if you want it to be.
Absolutely, and it's often the most efficient way of getting from point A to point B, and there are few parking issues, although of course there could be a few more bike racks around, particularly downtown, but overall it is a great alternative to driving. I'm not a hardcore cyclist in that I don't drive. I have work to go to and kids to shuffle around, and there are many reasons to drive, but many occasions where you don't need to drive and you can simply get on a bike, and it is a better way to go.
Do we have many hardcore cyclists who have literally given up cars and only use bikes here in town?
A few. But they're an exception. Even people who are bike a large percentage of the time, at the end of the day, they're always going to need a truck or a car in the winter in bad weather for fetching and carrying.
Groceries.
Yeah. Exactly.
So there have been some incidents that have been in the news lately. One of them about a car bike incident that happened on Highway 41 south of Santa Fe, in which seniors on bikes were riding in one lane, a car passed them, and there was unpleasantness exchanged. The driver got mad and allegedly backed into the group, injuring several people, one of them very badly. That stirred a lot of people up, and many bicyclists went to Mayor Weber's first city council meeting, which was last week. What's going on? Is there real animosity? Is that something that you've seen, or that people who are bicycling a lot have seen in Santa Fe, animosity between bicyclists and motorists?
Yes, animosity may be too strong a word, but there is a degree of intolerance, I would say, that many motorists show towards cyclists. I don't know any regular cyclist in Santa Fe who hasn't been yelled at to ride on the sidewalk. And so there is the conscious stuff, and also the just general lack of awareness, I think, is probably more serious. Most people are not, you know, inherently hostile towards bikes. They just simply don't understand necessarily what all the city ordinances are concerning bikes, and also just how to accommodate bikes on the road. The number of cyclists is growing and is more of a factor on the roads. And to some extent, I think cyclists are being more assertive and trying to assert their rights.
And if a motorist is yelling at a cyclist to get on the sidewalk, that means the motorist really doesn't know the law.
Absolutely.
What is the law?
The law is that cyclists are a slow-moving vehicle and have all the rights and obligations that a backhoe or somebody towing a trailer would have.
Or a car.
Or a car. And so, for example, there is a city ordinance that cars must give cyclists 5 feet to pass. And if 5 feet isn't available, then they must wait until it is. Bicyclists may take the lane if there isn't a cycle lane available. Bicyclists may occupy the full lane, and motorists have to accommodate that. Cyclists aren't required to ride in parking lanes. They aren't required to ride tight up to the curve, which is a extremely dangerous way of riding anyway. So this is the law in Santa Fe, that we are effectively vehicles. Somebody told me the other day that effectively all lanes were bike lanes. So cyclists can use all lanes. Of course, motorists can't use bike lanes, but cyclists are totally allowed to use the lane in any situation.
And so they are vehicles, they have to stop, bicyclists have to stop at stoplights, they have to use signaling.
All of these things. There is some question about stop signs, whether bicyclists, particularly turning right, can continue movement without a full stop, but basically, yes.
And so basically we need more motorist education. What would you like motorists to know? You just said some of the things. I mean, bicycles are essentially vehicles.
Yes.
What else should motorists know about the experience of riding a bicycle and how to share the road with them?
Well, of course, we would like all motorists to have taken our basic smart skills bicycle training for adults.
There's a bicycle course for car drivers?
There's a bicycle course for everybody. And if car drivers were to take that course, of course, they would understand cycling issues much better and, of course, become much better drivers because it makes you much more aware when you're looking out for cyclists. That would help educate motorists. There are fairly fundamental things as I went through. It's not a lot. It's not complicated, or there isn't a pretty broad range of things that motorists have to know, just these simple steps to accommodate cyclists. Equally, cyclists have to also respect the law. And at the end of the day, I think everybody has to look to accommodate everybody. There are instances where it's impossible to do things like not ride on the sidewalk. There are always going to be exceptions to any situation. As a cyclist, if it's possible, always give cars the room that they need to pass. There's no need to always stand on principle. Always look for ways to where everybody can accommodate everybody and lower tensions. The episode that happened on Highway 41, it didn't need to happen. If everybody had, the seniors on bikes were not in any way at fault, and certainly we see the driver as being very much at fault, but was there a way to diffuse that before? Did that need to happen? Those sorts of incidents.
I wonder, I mean, I can see that a driver might get frustrated if they're going behind a bike very slowly and there's no way to pass and they're in a hurry. I can see that. But that kind of generalized animosity and anger, how do you understand that? Where does it come from?
Unfamiliarity, impatience, a general sense that motorists have certain rights to drive fast and not be impeded in any way. As I said, I don't think it's necessarily deep-seated. I think it's, you know, where does any road rage incident come from? It's not just about cyclists. There are many equivalent things that take place on the roads that shouldn't, and it's the same question. Where does that come from? Why can't everybody on the roads, you know, be more considerate of everybody else?
Right, right. Why can't there be no crime and we all hold hands? Right, okay. There are accidents every year in every city where bicyclists are concerned. What kind of accidents are most common and why?
Well, on a bicycle, your largest other risks would be cars turning in front of you, making right turns without noticing you, coming up a bike lane, or on the inside if a lane is wide enough to share with both a car and a bicyclist. Certainly in large cities, trucks turning right is one of the main causes of accidents. Those would be episodes happening on the road.
If there is a situation where you're coming to an intersection and there is a bike lane that goes straight across, but the driver is driving to the left of that bicyclist and the driver wants to turn right, who has the right of way?
The cyclist has the right of way.
So basically, motorists have to watch for bicyclists to the right of them who might be going straight when they want to turn right.
It's a lane. You're a vehicle. You can't turn across a lane of traffic when there is traffic coming to your right.
Now, what about sidewalks? One thing that I've seen is, for example, if I'm driving on the right side of the road, there might be a sidewalk to my right and a bicyclist going toward me, which seems kind of dangerous. Like, I've once almost hit a bicyclist because I was pulling out of a side street and a bicyclist was going the wrong way against traffic on the sidewalk very fast.
We, in principle, and, you know, as a member of the League of American Bicyclists, we are, in principle, against riding on the sidewalk. However, as in all things, there are situations where you will find it necessary. For example, if you are on St. Francis, the reality is it will be safer for you. There's not a lot of pedestrian traffic. You would probably be better off riding on the sidewalk. I probably would along there.
Would you go with or against the traffic?
Well, on the sidewalk, it's not going to be as important. You should never ride on the road against the traffic. But wherever there are long stretches with low pedestrian alongside busy roads, you may be better off. For example, the new tunnel under St. Francis, which is a huge asset. However, if you come out on the near side of St. Francis, along by the school there, and you wish to turn right back to Sirius, there is no bike lane and there's no connection. You must ride on the sidewalk there if you want to get to the crossing. So there are certain places when you come out, say, many of the trails will end up on a sidewalk which will then connect you to a bicycle trail. Say if you come out from Roa de la Chamisos trail through Nava Ade and want to turn on to Governor Miles, then there's a section, it's not far, 30, 40 yards on the sidewalk. So yes, there are places. However, the reason it's not generally recommended is, as you say, motorists are not scanning the road for cyclists coming towards them. They're looking for a gap in traffic. So anybody on the sidewalk is at risk. So anywhere where there are multiple side roads coming in, then you wouldn't want to do it. The number of bicycle pedestrian collisions is unacceptably high. So if you're riding fast on a sidewalk, there is a good chance of hitting pedestrians. There's street furniture, newspaper booths, all these things. So in a busy urban area, in a downtown area with high pedestrian, where there isn't fast traffic, no, there'd be no reason at all to be on the sidewalk. However, as I said, across the country, there are many specific situational instances where it is less clear-cut. However, if it's at all possible to not ride on the sidewalk, don't do it. And don't have your kids ride on the sidewalk, assuming it's going to be better. Quiet residential neighborhoods, people back out of their driveways. Again, they're not looking necessarily for people on the sidewalk.
Let's talk about kids. When I was a kid, transportation, my main form of transportation was bicycling. We got everywhere on our bikes. We didn't wear helmets. We were entirely unsupervised. I mean, it was a while back.
Yeah.
It's very different today. What do parents and kids need to know about bicycling in a city or even in their quiet residential neighborhoods?
Well, we would recommend, again, all parents would push their children to take one of our kids' training classes. Again, we have League of American Bicyclists trained and licensed instructors. We're currently doing programs with the Indian School and with the Masters program. So we are ready to start working with the schools, working with individual groups. You know, parents can come to us if they can get a group together. I must say, teenagers are not super enthusiastic about giving up a weekend day to learn bicycle skills, and quite often that has been a problem, that the parents are very keen, kids less so. But we can accommodate parents in any format or schools in any format simply by, you know, we will arrange a custom program according to different needs and different resources available.
Do they have any of those things in schools?
Very few. It hasn't been easy to work with the public school system here. Again, you talk about, you know, when you were young, we look at places like Germany, where a massive percentage of kids are sent off and ride to school on their own because that is an expected part of the education system.
And their bike lanes are fantastic. I was in Germany some years ago, and I went to Berlin, mm-hmm. and I mean, that's as much of a lane of traffic. It's taken so seriously. Once I stepped into the bike lane, and I thought I was going to get arrested.
Oh, yes. But it's interesting because children at a fairly young age are sent off. Nobody actually wears a helmet, which, of course, we don't recommend, but there it is fairly safe. And children are sent off at 7, 8, 9 years old to school on their own, and there is seldom any incident or, you know, it is seen as a overall positive. However, I've got to say, again, we are optimistic of being able to work more fully with the schools. The new mayor, Alan Weber, has said in communications with us how important he thinks it is to bring bike programs into the schools, and we are ready to do that. Again, I have to say one of the things that is holding us up as an organization is the lack of licensed instructors that we have to offer programs. Currently, there are, I believe, 6 or 7 fully licensed instructors in Santa Fe, and we keep them fairly busy. We are looking to recruit new bike riders who would be interested in going through the process of learning to become licensed instructors.
Excellent. Well, at the end of this program, we will give contact information for Bike Santa Fe if there's anybody out there who wants to...
I'd like to ask you something. You said before that you didn't ride a bike in Santa Fe.
I do not ride a bike
in
Santa
Fe. And why would that be?
Well, I had too many scary incidents myself. I have not... I mean, and this was a while ago. I haven't ridden for years. I don't even have a bike anymore. But I got scared of some really vicious dogs in certain neighborhoods. And mostly, I would be riding in a bike lane and then get to an intersection. And on the other side of the intersection, there would be no bike lane. And it just seemed... I just got spooked by a couple of near misses.
Do you think that you would get beyond those fears by taking one of our bike classes?
I think I know the right answer to that question. Yes, Matt, I think I would be. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, not everybody, you know, we have classes and we have our next one coming up, I believe, on the 26th and 28th April.
Well, and this was all before they built all of those trails. And I wanted to ask you about that. There is a set of trails, the Acequia trails and other trails going through the city. One can get maps for those. You can probably tell us where. How is Santa Fe as a bike city since those have been finished and the tunnel under this Rio St. Francis intersection?
I'd say that there is a general improvement going on. The trails, of course, are great, the bike trails, and there is a new connector trail which has recently opened between the Dog Park and La Tierra trails. So that's a little bit of additional bike infrastructure.
The big dog park up on Camino de las Cruzitas?
Mm-hmm. And going over to La Tierra so you can connect up, and then it connects directly onto, it's really a mountain bike trail, but then connects into the La Tierra trail system. So there is constant progress, but at the same time, we are battling a structural bias in terms of city development that does not always work in favor of bicycles. And for whatever reasons, you know, the city, our cities everywhere are designed really in favor of motorists, and traffic engineering solutions tend to, again, be decided in favor of motorists. For example, there has been a lot of controversy over changes on Alta Vista Street quite recently that took place, I believe, about 6 months ago. Alta Vista Street, that section of Alta Vista Street, was a part of the National Bike Route 66. So, I mean, we had a fairly significant number of tourists coming through, bike tourists coming through and using that little section there between St. Francis and Louisa Street and Salvador Perez. Traffic was going too fast, and so city engineering were looking for calming measures. Now, all over the world, it's been shown that bike lanes operate very well to calm traffic, but there is an inclination within city government, as there is in many places, to look for engineering solutions that frequently involve pouring concrete, deferring to the needs for additional parking. These tend to be the priorities for people whose job is traffic engineering.
So they built those so-called traffic calming devices, which are...
Bump outs, yeah.
Yeah, bump outs.
Which would then add some parking spaces, which we don't feel were really necessary, as a large number of new spaces had just been provided at Salvador Perez. And also there's a large number of parking spaces next to the playing field there. But really, to maintain, you know, and enhance the bike lanes would have got the exact same results with considerably less expense. Frankly, that expense could have gone to many other things, including relaying the playing field there, which is really disgracefully out of repair. But again, as always, the same situation could have been fixed through a bike-driven solution. And one of the things I would say, and one of the things we call for, is to have a trained bicycle planner, somebody who comes from the planning side with a focus on bicycling solutions, working full-time out of the mayor's office or now perhaps out of the city manager's office. I mean, there's another tendency for the city for various projects, for example, on Museum Hill, to hire landscape architects, again, rather than bicycle planners, to determine how lanes and how roads and trails and landscape architects work to one set of criteria and bicycle planners work to criteria in favor of cyclists.
So basically, a seat at the table for bicycle lane and so on planners would be really indicated, especially, I mean, there are real ecological benefits. I mean, if we had lots, not just Santa Fe, but lots of truly bike-friendly cities around the country, we could make a significant carbon impact, could we not?
Indeed. And there are many cities that are becoming increasingly bike-friendly, and small cities. And again, when I was talking about, say, sidewalks, the different solutions that different people have come up with, many college towns are very bike-friendly. Even many larger urban areas have really appointed bike mayors, for example, somebody who's actually floating there as a kind of bike ombudsman, you know, who can come in and comment, and but is actually listened to through the city departments. These are all steps that we could take here. A bike share system in Santa Fe would certainly be very beneficial.
I've seen that in other cities, yes. Those kind of rent-a-bike things, is that what they are?
Yeah, pretty much everywhere you go now has a bike share system, even pretty small towns. I mean, certainly towns the equivalent to Santa Fe. And there is some debate, healthy debate, I'd say, as to which the best system is. There's what's called docked bike, which is what you would see in London or New York, where the city comes along and creates the infrastructure and you lock your bike to a fixed point. Then sweeping the world from really China is a non-docked private system where private companies come in and place bikes around and you have an app on your phone that unlocks them and you pay and you leave it, pick up the bike anywhere you see one and leave it anywhere. And that has a lot of teething issues, a lot of bikes getting trashed, but at the end of the day it means that cities don't have to pay for the infrastructure. A private company will come in and do it. So it's a lot quicker and it certainly saves cities a lot of money. I have no particular opinion. I know Paris just closed down its dockless system because so many bikes are ending up in canals. But at the same time, long term, then if there are solutions to that sort of thing, then it's beneficial. I was in DC recently and noticed they had both operating quite comfortably.
What would you like law enforcement to know about bicycles and bicyclists? I know that with the two recent incidents, one, the one we talked about, which was the person allegedly backing into a group of senior bicyclists, seniors on bikes. The other was an incident in which a woman who was really an international cycling champion was hit by a car who said that they didn't see her at an intersection, at a roundabout intersection. And there are situations where law enforcement is called, but maybe they're not really that used to this kind of incident and don't know what to do. How do you see that?
I think that's exactly right. And again, nothing against law enforcement in the city, who are massively overstretched and underfunded and so forth. But I'd say in general, the cycling community doesn't feel protected by law enforcement. And that comes from lack of experience and perhaps lack of bike issue focus in basic training, although I think it comes from all from the top, middle and on the street, that there is just generally a lack of familiarity and a lack of awareness and the same basic structural biases that there are everywhere. If you are a law enforcement officer in a car, you're going to see things from a motorist point of view.
Now, there are some cops on bikes.
There are not many, and they tend to be on mountain bikes, and not their goals are to be on the plaza where it's easier than having cars. It gives them a maneuverability. It doesn't mean that they are cops on bikes designed to benefit cyclists in any way. Of course, they'll have a more
bike-centric
perspective, but
right.
Not. But I'd like to actually say what the mayor told us, what he sees, is that one key thing that has to happen is that law enforcement must, in any accident, they must take proper statements from cyclists as well as from motorists. And we feel that that probably hasn't happened. And he also points out that local law enforcement must be directed, trained, whatever the word or whatever, you know, the answer is, to enforce existing local bike laws, like the 5 feet, like, you know, that any collision is a vehicle accident. It's not just too bad, oh well, everybody go away. This is a proper vehicle accident and has to be reported like any other motor vehicle accident.
Tell us more about Bike Santa Fe.
Well, Bike Santa Fe is an organization that has been growing quite a lot over the last couple of years as we've pushed for more education and more advocacy. several years ago, Bike Santa Fe wanted to pass the 5 feet ordinance, and we managed to successfully pass that through both houses of state legislature. Of course, it was vetoed at a governor level. We don't really know why, but it was. However, as a result of that, the city passed their ordinance. But since then, we have been working on building up education. We have, we are an advocacy organization, and so many of these issues in the city default to us because we are capable, for example, of organizing the 65 riders who took over the council meeting.
You had 65 people at the last city council
meeting. Yeah, we probably had about 2/3 of the room there, everybody
in goodness.
Bike gear holding up, and we had media there, and we generated a number of stories. And I feel that it's this advocacy. We were talking a bit ago about Alta Vista Street, but for example, there is now a meeting coming up on the 29th of this month to talk about changes on Guadalupe Street. And because of our activism on Alta Vista Street, we weren't successful there, but the planning for Guadalupe Street is considerably more bike-friendly than we think. Of course, it might have been anyway, but the fact that we have been going out and creating publicity, engaging with public officials, I think means that perhaps there's a general sense that no, that we are a constituency that has to be listened to some extent. I mean, there are a lot of bike riders out there. By organization and channeling and directing, then we are making slow progress. Not only that, but two of our board members also sit on the Bicycle and Trails Advisory Committee. So out of the 7 members or so, we have 2, so we can coordinate very effectively with other members. So we are slowly occupying more space within the dialogue within the city. And I think that's very important, and that will continue. And again, through education, through engagement. Now, there are many other things that Bike Santa Fe does as well. In addition to the advocacy for the class, we have our bike swap coming up on April the 7th. This will be the 8th annual bike swap. And
where's that?
That is going to be in an empty store space next to Harbour Freight Tools in St. Michael's Village.
Okay.
And we go indoors because we've done it outdoors, and you never can be that sure of the weather, as you know. But last year we had, you know, a large number of vendor tables, 20 or so, and a lot of people coming through. And for anybody who's got bike gear in their garage that they don't use, kids' bike gear that has been outgrown and needs to be upgraded, that is a place to turn it into some cash. For anybody looking for a cheap bike, there is bargains galore to be had, really. I was stunned by the deals people were picking up last year on some really great looking bikes. So
there's so many different kinds of bikes, and for people who are not already bike enthusiasts, let's say you're somebody like me, I haven't ridden a bike for 10 years, I go down to the bike swap to look for a bike that I can just use to commute downtown, essentially. I live a few right. miles outside. Where do I start? Like, how do I know what kind of bike to get?
Well, again, you have a specific goal, so you're not looking for some. There are lots of things you're not looking for.
Like a mountain bike.
Although many people ride mountain bikes around town, and you see people riding these fat tire bikes, or people are riding, it doesn't really matter. And you don't need anything great. What you are looking for in Santa Fe is, well, heavy-duty tires are good because there's a lot of glass, there's a lot of goat heads, so you want to avoid something with punctures. You want something that's reliable, obviously, that is going to get you around. But beyond that, you certainly don't need to invest much. We would rather see people on bikes that started out fairly high quality and maybe have got a few years on them rather than necessarily buying a cheap bike where the parts are going to break or such like. But for you to bike, there would be plenty of different options starting at not a large investment, even if you were to buy new. If you're not looking for performance, then you're looking for reliability. So
we talked a little bit before. I mean, I've seen people who are riding bikes who are not following the law. And that's an important piece of it, too. I mean, we're talking about educating motorists. We also need to educate bicyclists.
We certainly do. We see people often doing all the things that we would advise against: riding on the sidewalk, riding against the traffic, riding without lights.
Riding without lights is huge.
Huge.
It's so, I mean, even if you're driving on Agua Fria at night, and there's a bicyclist who doesn't have lights and reflectors, those little flashy lights are great because you can see those from quite a ways off. But you could inadvertently hit a bicyclist if you're driving.
Yes, and we are very concerned about that. One of the big concerns is that it is driven by economic issues. I was reading a 2015 study that showed that about half of regular bike commuters nationally make less than $25,000 a year. Now, a bike helmet doesn't need to be expensive. Something that is certified, you can buy for $25. A decent set of bike lights, another $25. But if you're making $25,000 a year, that's a significant amount of money for you. And these are people who are bike commuters, people who require their bicycles to get to work and back. This is not recreational. This is something that is fundamental.
And some of those people are restaurant workers who come home at night.
That's exactly. And so it is hard for us as a organization. We would love to be more effective in reaching that less economically advantaged community. I mean, I recognize Bike Santa Fe, we tend to be, you know, recreational bike riders, but how do we do it? I'd like to give a shout out to Chainbreakers Collective, who are a strong activist organization working on economic issues, and they provide an opportunity for people to go and build their own bikes. They have a bike shop where people can go. But again, it's essential to try and educate all parts of the community. Bike lights, there are cheap things, fairly disposable. We'd like to, again, that might be another reason to work more closely with law enforcement. Perhaps they could stop and gently remind people of the benefits of having a helmet, or in some way funnel parts of the city that we have more trouble reaching towards some of these solutions, where we might be able to help provide helmets or lights or the things that would enable, just basic bike education, enable those people that really do depend on bicycles to also be more aware of rights and responsibilities.
Matt Kreipman is Vice President of Bike Santa Fe. They have a brand new website, just went online at bikesantafe.org. Anything else you want to let people know before we go?
Please come to the Bike Swap on April the 7th. We have an upcoming adult smart skills cycling class. That will be the evening of Thursday the 26th of April and all day Saturday the 28th of April. You will be amazed if you take the class how much better cyclist you are afterwards. It's really for cyclists of all levels, people who are experienced bike commuters, people who are like yourself, who are interested in getting back on the bike after a few years. But this is the place to start. I think everybody thinks it's a great class and a good experience.
Matt Kreipman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. This program is brought to you in part by Dotfoil Computer Services, providing computer repair and business services for Apple and PC. They're Santa Fe's only Apple-authorized service provider. You can find them on the web at dotfoil.com and in the Candyman Center in Santa Fe. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send any feedback on the show, ideas, or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.